ever be the way Simon was with his sister. A mixture of boredom and loving irritation. She couldn't imagine it. She heard the loud meows before the elevator door even opened. "Hey, Church," she said, kneeling down by the wriggling gray ball on the floor. "Where is everyone?" Church, who clearly wanted his stomach rubbed, muttered ominously. With a sigh, Clary gave in. "Demented cat," she said, rubbing with vigor. "Where?"
"Clary!"
It was Isabel, swooping into the foyer in a long red skirt, her hair piled on top of her head with jeweled clips.
"It's so great to see you!"
She descended on Clary with a hug that nearly overbalanced her. "Isabel!" Clary gasped.
"It's good to see you, too," she added, letting Isabel pull her up to a standing position. "I was so worried about you," said Isabel brightly. "After you guys went off to the library with Hodge, and I was with Alec, I heard the most terrific banging explosion. And when I got to the library, of course, you were gone, and everything was strewn all over the floor. And there was blood and sticky black goo everywhere."
She shuddered.
"What was that stuff?"
"A curse," Clary said quietly. "Hodge's curse."
"Oh, right," Isabel said. "Jace told me about Hodge."
"He did?" Clary was surprised.
"That he got the curse taken off him and left."
"Yeah, he did."
"I would have thought he'd have stayed to say goodbye," Isabel added. "I'm kind of disappointed in him.
But I guess he was scared of the Clave. He'll get in touch eventually, I bet."
So Jace hadn't told them that Hodge had betrayed them, Clary thought, not sure how she felt about that.
Then again, if Jace was trying to spare Isabel confusion and disappointment, maybe she shouldn't interfere.
"Anyway," Isabel went on, "it was horrible, and I don't know what I would have done if Magnus hadn't showed up and magicked Alec back to health."
"Is that a word? Magicked?" She crinkled her eyebrows. "Jace told us all about what happened on the island afterward. Actually, we knew about it even before, because Magnus was on the phone about it all night. Everyone in Downworld was buzzing about it. You're famous, you know."
"Me?"
"Sure.
Valentine's daughter."
Clary shuddered.
"So I guess Jace is famous, too."
"You're both famous," said Isabel in the same overbright voice.
"The famous brother and sister."
Clary looked at Isabel curiously.
"I didn't expect you to be this glad to see me, I have to admit."
The other girl put her hands on her hips indignantly.
"Why not?"
"I didn't think you liked me all that much." Isabel's brightness faded and she looked down at her silvery toes.
"I didn't think I did either," she admitted. "But when I went to look for you and Jace and you were gone..."
Her voice trailed off.
"I wasn't just worried about him, I was worried about you too. There's something so reassuring about you. And Jace is so much better when you're around."
Clary's eyes widened.
"He is?"
"He is, actually. Less sharp-edged, somehow. It's not so much that he's kinder, but that he lets you see the kindness in him." She paused.
"And I guess I resented you at first, but I realize now that was stupid. Just because I've never had a friend who was a girl doesn't mean I couldn't learn how to have one."
"Me too, actually," said Clary.
"And Isabel?"
"Yeah?"
"You don't have to pretend to be nice. I like it better when you just act like yourself."
"Bitchy, you mean," Isabel said, and laughed. Clary was about to protest when Alec swung into the entryway on a pair of crutches. One of his legs was bandaged, his jeans rolled up to his knee, and there was another bandage on his temple, under the dark hair. Otherwise, he looked remarkably healthy for someone who'd nearly died 4 days before. He waved a crutch in greeting.
"Hi," Clary said, surprised to see him up and around.
"Are you
all right?"
"I'm fine," Alec said. "I won't even need these in a few days." Guilt swelled her throat. If it hadn't been for her, Alec wouldn't be on crutches at all.
"I'm really glad you're okay, Alec," she said, putting every ounce of sincerity into her voice that she could muster.
Alec blinked.
"Thanks."
"So Magnus fixed you?" Clary said.
"Luke said..."
"He did," said Isabel. "It was so awesome. He showed up and ordered everyone out of the room and shut the door. Blue and red sparks kept exploding out into the hallway from underneath the door."
"I don't remember any of it," said Alec.
Then he sat by Alec's bed all night and into the morning to make sure he woke up okay, Isabel added.
I don't remember that either, Alec added hastily.
Isabel's red lips curved into a smile. I wonder how Magnus knew to come. I asked him, but he wouldn't say. Clary thought of the folded paper Hodge had thrown into the fire after Valentine had gone. He was a strange man, she thought, who'd taken the time to do what he could to save Alec even while betraying everyone and everything he'd ever cared about.
I don't know, she said.
Isabel shrugged. I guess he heard about it somewhere. He does seem to be hooked into an enormous gossip network. He's such a girl.
He's the High Warlock of Brooklyn, Isabel, Alec reminded her, but not without some amusement.
He turned to Clary.
Jace is up in the greenhouse if you want to see him, he said. I'll walk you.
You will?
Sure.
Alec looked only slightly uncomfortable.
Why not?
Clary glanced at Isabel, who shrugged. Whatever Alec was up to, he hadn't shared it with his sister.
Go on, said Isabel. I've got stuff to do anyway.
She waved a hand at them.
Shoo!
They set off down the hallway together. Alec's pace was fast, even on crutches. Clary had to jog to keep up.
I have short legs, she reminded him.
Sorry.
He slowed down, contrite.
Look, he began, those things you said to me, when I yelled at you about Jace.
I remember, she said in a small voice.
When you told me that you know, that I was just... that it was because...
He seemed to be having trouble forming a complete sentence. He tried again.
When you said I was...
Alec, don't.
Sure. Never mind.
He clamped his lips together.
You don't want to talk about it.
It's not that. It's that I feel awful about what I said. It was horrible. It wasn't true at all.
But it was true, said Alec. Every word.
That doesn't make it okay, she said. Not everything that's true needs to be said. It was mean, and when I said Jace had told me you'd never killed a demon, he said it was because you were always protecting him and Isabel. It was a good thing he was saying about you. Jace can be a jerk, but he...
loves you, she was about to say, and stopped.
Never said a bad word about you to me, ever, I swear.
You don't have to swear, he said. I know already.
He sounded calm, even confident in a way she'd never heard him sound before. She looked at him, surprised.
I know I didn't kill Abaddon either, but I appreciate you telling me I had.
She laughed shakily. You appreciate me lying to you?
You did it out of kindness, he said. That means a lot, that you would be kind to me even after how I treated you.
I think Jace would have been pretty pissed at me for lying if he hadn't been so upset at the time, said Clary. Not as mad as he would be if he knew what I'd said to you before, though.
I've got an idea, said Alec, his mouth turning up at the corners. Let's not tell him. I mean, maybe Jace can behead a Ducienne demon from a distance of 50 feet with just a corkscrew and a rubber band, but sometimes I think he doesn't know much about people.
I guess so, Clary grinned. They'd reached the bottom of the spiral staircase that led to the roof.
I can't go up.
Alec tapped his crutch against a metal step. It rang tinnily.
It's okay. I can find my way.
He made as if to turn away, then glanced back at her.
I should have guessed you were Jace's sister, he said. You both have the same artistic talent.
Clary paused, her foot on the lowest stair. She was taken aback.
Jace can draw?
Nah. When Alec smiled, his eyes lit like blue lamps, and Clary could see what Magnus had found so captivating about him.
I was just kidding. He can't draw a straight line.
Chuckling, he swung away on his crutches. Clary watched him go, bemused. An Alec who cracked jokes and poked fun at Jace was something she could get used to, even if his sense of humor was somewhat inexplicable. The greenhouse was just as she'd remembered it, though the sky above the glass roof was sapphire now. The clean, soapy smell of the flowers cleared her head. Breathing in deeply, she pushed her way through the tightly woven leaves and branches. She found Jace sitting on the marble bench in the middle of the greenhouse. His head was bent, and he seemed to be turning an object over in his hands, idly.
He looked up as she ducked under a branch and quickly closed his hand around the object.
Clary.
He sounded surprised.
What are you doing here?
I came to see you, she said. I wanted to know how you were.
I'm fine.
He was wearing jeans and a white t-shirt. She could see his still fading bruises, like the dark spots on the white flesh of an apple. Of course, she thought, the real injuries were internal, hidden from every eye but his own.
What is that?
She asked, pointing to his closed hand. He opened his fingers. A jagged shard of silver lay in his palm, glimmering blue and green at the edges.
A piece of the portal mirror.
She sat down on the bench next to him. Can you see anything in it? He turned it a little, letting the light run over it like water.
Bits of sky. Trees. A path.
I keep angling it, trying to see the manor house.
My father.
Valentine, she corrected. Why would you want to see him?
I thought maybe I could see what he was doing with the mortal cup, he said reluctantly. Where it was.
Chase, that's not our responsibility anymore. Not our problem. Now that the Clave finally knows what happened, the Lightwoods are rushing back. Let them deal with it. Now he did look at her. She wondered how it was that they could be brother and sister and look so little alike. Couldn't she have at least gotten the curling dark lashes or the angular cheekbones? It hardly seemed fair.
He said, When I looked through the portal and saw Idris, I knew exactly what Valentine was trying to do. That he wanted to see if I'd break. And it didn't matter. I still wanted to go home more badly than I could have imagined.
She shook her head. I don't see what's so great about Idris. It's just a place, the way you and Hodge talk about it. She broke off. He closed his hand over the shard again.
I was happy there. It was the only place I was ever happy like that.
Clary plucked a stem from a nearby bush and began to denude it of its leaves.
You felt sorry for Hodge. That's why you didn't tell Alec and Isabel what he really did.
He shrugged.
They'll find out eventually, you know. I know. But I won't be the one who told them.
Jace. The surface of the pond was green with fallen leaves. How could you have been happy there? I know what you thought, but Valentine was a terrible father. He killed your pets, lied to you, and I know he hit you. Don't even try to pretend he didn't.
A flicker of a smile ghosted across Jace's face.
Only on alternate Thursdays.
Then how could...
It was the only time I ever felt sure about who I was, where I belonged. It sounds stupid, but...
He shrugged.
I kill demons because it's what I'm good at and what I was taught to do. But it isn't who I am. And I'm partly good at it because after I thought my father had died, I was cut free. No consequences, no one to grieve. No one who had a stake in my life because they'd been part of giving it to me.
His face looked as if it had been carved out of something hard.
I don't feel that way anymore.
The stem was entirely denuded of leaves. Clary threw it aside.
Why not? Because of you, he said. If it weren't for you, I would have gone with my father through the portal. If it weren't for you, I would go after him right now.
Clary stared down into the clogged pond. Her throat burned.
I thought I made you feel unsettled. It's been so long, he said simply, that I think I was unsettled by the idea of feeling like I belonged anywhere. But you made me feel like I belong.
I want you to go somewhere with me, she said abruptly. He looked at her sideways. Something about the way his light gold hair fell into his eyes made her feel unbearably sad.
Where?
I was hoping you'd come to the hospital with me.
I knew it.
His eyes narrowed until they looked like the edges of coins.
Clary, that woman.
She's your mother too, Jace.
I know, he said. But she's a stranger to me. I only ever had one parent and he's gone. Worse than dead.
I know. And I know there's no point in telling you how great my mom is. What an amazing, terrific, wonderful person she is, and that you'd be lucky to know her. I'm not asking this for you. I'm asking for me. I think if she heard your voice...
Then what?
She might wake up.
She looked at him steadily. He held her gaze, then broke it with a smile, crooked and a little battered, but a real smile.
Fine, I'll go with you.
He stood up.
You don't have to tell me good things about your mother, he added. I already know them.
Do you? He shrugged slightly.
She raised you, didn't she?
He glanced toward the glass roof.
The sun's almost set.
Clary got to her feet. We should head out to the hospital. I'll pay for the cab, she added as an afterthought. Luke gave me some cash.
That won't be necessary.
Jace's smile widened.
Come on, I've got something to show you.
But where did you get it? Clary demanded, staring at the motorcycle perched at the edge of the cathedral's roof. It was a shiny poison green, with silver-rimmed wheels and bright flames painted on the seat.
Magnus was complaining that someone had left it outside his house the last time he had a party, said Jace. I convinced him to give it to me.
And you flew it up here? She was still staring.
Uh-huh. I'm getting pretty good at it.
He swung a leg over the seat and beckoned her to come and sit behind him.
Come on, I'll show you.
Well, at least you know it works this time, she said, getting on behind him. If we crash into the parking lot of a Key Food, I'll kill you. You know that?
Don't be ridiculous, said Jace. There are no parking lots on the Upper East Side. Why drive when you can get your groceries delivered?
The bike started with a roar, drowning out his laugh. Shrieking, Clary grabbed hold of his belt as the bike hurtled down the slanted roof of the Institute and launched itself into space. The wind tore her hair as they rose up, up over the cathedral, up above the roofs of the nearby high-rises and apartment buildings. And there it was, spread out before her like a carelessly opened jewelry box. This city more populous and more amazing than she had ever imagined. There was the Emerald Square of Central Park, where the fairy courts met on midsummer evenings. There were the lights of the clubs and bars downtown, where the vampires danced the nights away at Pandemonium. There the alleys of Chinatown, down which the werewolves slunk at night, their coats reflecting the city's lights. There walked warlocks in all their bat-winged, cat-eyed glory. And here, as they swung out over the river, she saw the darting flash of multicolored tails under the silvery skin of the water, the shimmer of long, pearl-strewn hair, and heard the high, rippling laughter of the mermaids. Jace turned to look over his shoulder, the wind whipping his hair into tangles.
"What are you thinking?" he called back to her.
"Just how different everything down there is now, you know, now that I can see."
"Everything down there is exactly the same," he said, angling the cycle toward the East River.
They were heading toward the Brooklyn Bridge again.
"You're the one that's different."
Her hands tightened convulsively on his belt as they dipped lower and lower over the river.
"Jace, don't worry."
He sounded maddeningly amused.
"I know what I'm doing. I won't drown us."
She squinted her eyes against the tearing wind. "Are you testing what Alex said about some of these bikes being able to go underwater?"
"No."
He leveled the bike out carefully as they rose from the river's surface.
"I think that's just a story."
"But Jace," she said, "all the stories are true." She didn't hear him laugh, but she felt it, vibrating through his rib cage and into her fingertips. She held on tightly as he angled the cycle up, gunning it so that it shot forward and darted up the side of the bridge like a bird freed from a cage. Her stomach dropped out from under her as the silver river spun away and the spires of the bridge slid under her feet. But this time, Clary kept her eyes open so that she could see it all.
Instruments Book 1, City of Bones, was written by Cassandra Clare and read by Mae Whitman. It was recorded by Wes Dewberry at the Invisible Studios in Los Angeles. Editing and post-production by Frog Pond Productions. Terry Hogan was the mix engineer. The associate producer was Joanna Solotaroff. City of Bones was produced and directed by Christina Zarafanidis. This has been a presentation of Simon & Schuster Audio.